the word of the Lord together. Now his brothers had gone to graze their father's flocks near Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, "As you know, your brothers are grazing the flocks near Shechem. Come, I am going to send you to them." "Very well," he replied. So he said to him, "Go and see if all is well with your brothers and with the flocks, and bring word to me." Then he sent him off to the valley of Hebron. When Joseph arrived at Shechem, a man found him wandering around in the fields and asked him, "Who are you looking for? What are you looking for?" And he replied, "I'm looking for my brothers. Can you tell me where they're grazing their flocks?" "They have moved on from here," the man answered. "I've heard them say, 'Let's go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them near Dothan. But they saw him in the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. "Here comes that dreamer," they said to each other. "Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of all his dreams." When Reuben heard this, he tried to rescue him from their hands. "Let's not take his life," he said. "Don't shed any blood. Throw him into this cistern here in the desert, but don't lay a hand on him." Reuben said this to rescue him from them and to take him back to his father. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the richly ornamented robe that he was wearing, and they took him and threw him into the cistern. Now the cistern was empty, but there was no water in it. And as they sat down to eat their meal, they looked up and saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead. Their camels were loaded with spices and balm and myrrh, and they were on their way to take them down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, "What will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood." And his brothers agreed. So when the Midianites merchants came by, his brothers pulled Joseph out of the cistern and sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites who took him to Egypt. When Reuben returned to the cistern and saw that Joseph was not there, he tore his robes. He went back to his brothers and said, "The boy isn't there. Where can I turn now?" Then they got Joseph's robe and slaughtered a goat and dipped the robe in blood. They took the ornamented robe back to their father and said, "We have found this. Examine it to see if this is your son's robe." He recognized it and said, "It is my son's robe. Some ferocious animal has devoured him. Joseph has surely been torn to pieces." But Joseph tore his clothes and he put on sackcloth and mourned for his son for many days. All his sons and daughters came to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. "No," he said, "in mourning I will go down to the grave to my son." So his father wept for him. Meanwhile, the Midianites sold Joseph in Egypt to Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officials and the captain of the guard. Here ends the reading of God's word. His blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the encouragement that it gives us. Lord, that it relates to us things that we, our own life, can understand. And Father, I pray that, thank you that your word brings comfort and hope to us in times when things do not always turn out in life that we had hoped, the way we had hoped or planned that they would. In those times, Lord, when our dreams can be shattered and dashed to pieces, we still, Lord, can have hope to know that behind everything is your hand at work. So, Lord, speak to us through your word this morning. Comfort us, and may we see you through the pages of your word and hear from you this morning as you speak to our hearts. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All of us grow up as children with dreams. Dreams that we have for how we hope and pray and think that life will be for us. But have you ever experienced the heartbreak of a shattered dream? Everything was all set. You were sure that things were going to turn out in a certain way. And then the bottom falls out from under everything. Maybe you had dreamed growing up that you were going to marry Prince Charming, and he ended up marrying Bozo the Clown. Maybe you experienced or dreamed that things you would be better off where you are than you are now. Maybe you had hoped things would have turned out different in life than what they have experienced and what you've experienced. I know growing up, and I had dreams of being a father. And I always loved kids. But the Lord never blessed us that way. I thought one day that that was going to be fulfilled when we had the opportunity to adopt a child. And she was signed over to us, and you know the story. And we had her in our home for 5 days. The doctor signed her over to us. The rights were signed over to us. And we called, and she was born, and we brought her home. And I thought the Lord had fulfilled that dream. And I remember the day when that dream was shattered. When the phone rang and it was an attorney calling. He said, the father decides he wants to raise her. You have 1 hour to get her to our office. The carpet pulled out from under. Life changed. Dreams dashed in a moment. And what do you do? And how do we respond in times like that? Maybe you get a phone call and you had dreams that your children would grow up and follow the Lord, and maybe they haven't followed after him, or your grandchildren. Or life hasn't turned out the way that you thought it would. And when our dreams are dashed, it can often leave us frustrated, feeling devastated, feeling confused or upset. We might even feel at times like that that God has forgotten about us or doesn't care about our dreams anymore. We may begin to wonder if God even is faithful and can keep his word and his promises to us in the midst of those broken dreams. Joseph may have felt the same way. He had dreams as well. And God had given him those dreams, as we had seen last week. And he revealed those dreams to his brothers. He understood what they meant. His brothers understood what they meant. But now, as we come to the passage this morning, we see his dreams being dashed. And when Joseph's brothers ripped off his coat, threw him into a pit, ignored his pleas, sold him into slavery, Joseph, at that point, may have thought his dreams were broken and shattered. Where would life take him from there? Can you identify with that? Have you ever been there? How do we respond in times like that? When our dreams are broken and shattered and lie on the ground around us, how does God want us to live? Is there hope in the midst of that? What does God? Where is God in all those times? Well, as we continue to look at Joseph's life, we see this very thing, and we can see two lessons that we can learn from him to apply to our life this morning in those times of broken dreams. In those times when we see our dreams shattered and life not turning out the way we had hoped, and disappointment sets in. Because we all have had times of disappointment. Maybe we've been disappointed by others. Maybe we've been disappointed by life. Maybe we've been disappointed by family. Maybe we've been disappointed by coworkers. And maybe we even feel times we've been disappointed by God. Have you ever felt that, if we're honest? Because our dreams don't seem the way our life didn't turn out the way that we had dreamed or thought it would. So the first lesson we discover this morning tells us that when we allow sin to remain unchecked, it will become even more destructive. Because see, sometimes our dreams can be broken by sin. Not necessarily, sometimes it might be our sin, or sometimes it might be the sin of others. But sin sometimes can creep in and break the dreams that we had thought that they would be. Such is the case of Joseph. His dreams were broken and shattered by the sins of his brothers. And we can learn that when we allow sin to remain unchecked in our life and we don't deal with it, it will become even more destructive in our life and lead to even worse things. Because becomes destructive because we will give in to our sinful desires. Now, in Sunday school and Bible study right now, we're talking about temptation. And we're talking about that enticement and what happens when we give in to those things and the destruction that can happen in our life. And chapter 37 tells us how and illustrates how that very thing happened. Is that Jacob was concerned for his brother, for his sons. And they were out tending their flocks near Shechem, as this chapter tells us in verse 12. And so Jacob called Joseph over and he said, Joseph, I want you to go and check on your brothers. See how they're doing. I know they're tending the flocks over near Shechem. And go see how they're doing and bring word back to me. Now, there were several reasons why Jacob was concerned about his sons. Now, remember, last week we had talked about the dysfunction of the family and how dysfunctional the family was. But Jacob, you remember that Joseph had already brought back to Jacob before a report about the brothers and that they were not, whatever, they were doing something wrong. And he had already reported back to them about their treatment in the past. And so Jacob was wondering, are my sons up to no good again? He knew what their character was like, and so he was concerned for them. So he said, go check on them and bring back word. Make sure they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. Make sure they're not getting in any kind of trouble out there. I'm concerned about them. He was also concerned because they were near Shechem. You say, well, what's the big deal about Shechem? Well, if you did some of the back reading this week on the life of Joseph, you get to chapter 34 of Genesis, and it tells you what happened at Shechem. Shechem was named after the man named Shechem, and he had a desire for Dinah, which was the daughter of Jacob. In fact, so much a desire that he raped her. And then he wanted to marry her, and so he came to Jacob and said, I really have a desire for your daughter. I'd like to have her as my wife. And Jacob knew what had happened and how Dinah had been defiled, but he didn't do a word about it till his sons came home because he wanted them to know. So they came back and they heard the story. And so Simeon and Levi come up with the plan. They said, Dad, tell them that we'll agree to that if you tell Shechem and all the men of the city that they have to be circumcised like us. And if they're circumcised like us, then we'll agree to it and let Dinah be his wife and we'll go along. But they had already planned that they were going to deceive. So it sounded good to Shechem, so Shechem agreed. And all him and all the men of the city were circumcised. And the Bible says while they were still recovering in their pain, Levi and Simeon went into the town of Shechem, killed Shechem, all the men, took all the women and children, took all the property, and totally devastated the town. That's what had happened at Shechem. Now, that is where the men, where Joseph's brothers are. You think that Jacob could have been a little concerned? You know, maybe something could happen here in Shechem. These men, people might want to retaliate. So he had concern about their welfare. So he sent Joseph out. So Joseph goes and he obeys. It says, he said, very well, Dad, I'll go. And we see in Joseph's behavior here a picture of Jesus himself. That the Father was concerned for us. And he sent his son Jesus to come to us, to find us. And Jesus said to the Father, very well, I'll go. And I'll give myself. So he went out in search of his brothers. They spot him in the distance. And first he wants to Shechem, they're not there. So he found out he's in Dothan. So he's on his way to Dothan to find him. And they spot him in the distance. And here's where we pick up and see how sin left unchecked brings forth more sin. They saw him in the distance and they despised him. They already despised him because of the dreams that he had shared with them. We had seen last week that they hated Joseph because of the favoritism that his father had elevated him because he came to coat. And here comes Joseph with his coat on. They were probably thinking, who's going to come and give another bad report to Daddy about us? And they despised him. And their despising of him and hatred led them to a plot. And they said, let's kill him. Let's kill him and get rid of him. Get rid of him. Get rid of his dreams. We don't have to deal with our little brother anymore who thinks he's better than us. So their despising him led to demeaning him. And it says that when he came, they said, oh, look, here comes that dreamer. And they demeaned him. And they despised him, which led to the fact of them wanting to determine to harm him. And see how the one sin led to another. And they didn't check it, but they let their hatred, they let their envy lead to something greater in their life because they didn't check it. And there's a lesson here we can learn that when we don't deal with the sin in our heart and we let it go on, it can lead to even greater problems in our life. It can become more disastrous. They ignored his pleas and his cries. But Reuben, when he heard about the brothers' plots, said, well, let's not kill him. Let's just put him in this cistern and let's just keep him in there. And his plan was when the brothers were not around, he was going to take him back to Jacob. And why Reuben wanted to do that, it was Reuben was the firstborn. He was responsible for the welfare of the rest of the family. He felt like to Joseph like everybody else did, but at least he thought, well, I'm the older brother. I need to make sure he's safe. So he said, let's just keep him in this pit. And so apparently he went somewhere, and while he was away, Judah, and it's interesting, it was Judah come up with the plan. And these merchants from Israelite merchandise came through, and Judah saw them and said, hey, he's our brother. Let's profit from him. What good is it if we kill him? At least we can, if we sell him, we can get some money for him. So let's, he is our brother after all. They really cared for him. They said, he is our brother after all. So they sold him. And it was Judah who came up with that plan. Why is that significant? Do you remember anything else about Judah? Judah became the founder of the tribe of Judah. And you remember who came from Judah? Jesus. Jesus was sold by his betrayed and sold for silver as a slave for us. And we see here in Joseph a picture again of Jesus being sold as a slave. But the sin continued and it led to deception and it led to determining to bring harm. And when we allow that sin to go unchecked in our life, it can be disastrous. So we will give in to our sinful desires, and then it's dangerous because we will cover up our sinful actions. Joseph was sold into slavery. He was gone. And they thought, well, now what are we going to do? What are we going to tell Dad? So we had to come up with a plan and tell our father what happened. They weren't going to tell him what they did. So they come up with a plan and they plot a device, and you know it. They took his robe, dipped it in blood, killed an animal, and said, we're going to tell Dad that a ferocious animal devoured him. And good, we're covered. He thinks Joseph's dead. We got rid of him. We don't have to deal with his dreams anymore, and we're coming out fine. And they tried to cover their sin over. Deception, it led to deception and lying to their father, seeking to deceive him. It led to blame shifting, lying, hiding, all those things. And when we don't admit our sin and try to cover it over, and that's as old as Adam himself. Remember when he sinned? What'd he do? He tried to cover his sin over. He tried to blame Eve for it. Eve tried to blame the snake. And instead of dealing with it and confessing with it and take responsibility. So dreams can be dashed by sin. Sometimes sin in our life or sin that someone has done to us. It wasn't anything Joseph had done here that his dreams were dashed. They were dashed by the sins of others, and sometimes the sins of others can affect us. But when we allow sin to go unchecked, it can become more disruptive, and that's the first lesson we learn. But now let's go on to something more encouraging. And that is that when our dreams are dashed and shattered and broken, remember that God's still in control. And that's the good news of this story. That when our dreams are shattered and broken And it can be sometimes by sadness, sometimes by sorrow, sometimes by hardship, such in the case of Joseph, unjust treatment. And in those times, remember that God still is in control. Do you believe that? Because he has a plan that we don't see. It says here that the merchants came along. When they were sitting there eating their meal, these Midianite merchants came along, and they just happened to be coming along at that time. And they just happened to be heading to Egypt. You think that was coincidental? God's purpose and plan was that he needed to get Joseph to Egypt so that in Egypt, Joseph would eventually be able to save not only Egypt, but his people from famine. Do you think it was coincidental that these Midianites happened to be heading to Egypt at this time? No, it was all part of the plan of God. And he has a plan and a purpose. And remember, Joseph said, you intended this for evil, but God meant it for good, to save many lives. And that's the encouragement we have, that when the bottom falls out, when our dreams are dashed, God has a plan that we don't see, but is known to him. And he is working it out for our good. Believe that? And so we can trust him in that. It says that meanwhile, as Jacob is mourning, thinking Joseph is dead, verse 36, meanwhile, the Midianites sold Joseph in Egypt to Potiphar. Again, part of the plan of God being unfolded. And the scripture is making us clear here that God is putting the steps in place every part of the way for his plan to be fulfilled. And your life and mine, we can trust him that he is in control. The plan we can't see at the time, but when we look back, we can see how the pieces fell in place. And we can trust him that God's putting the right pieces in place in the future, right? And just trust him in that. Even when it's hard, even when we can't see it, we know that God knows. The scripture says in Jeremiah, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and give you success and a future. And our plans are known to God. He has made those plans, and he is working them out, even when it seems like it's not. Even when it seems like our dreams are shattered and life did not end up the way that we had planned or hoped that it would. We can trust and know that God's work, and God is working out his plan. Romans 8:28 tells us we know that God works all things out for the good for those who love him, who know him. And also he is at work behind the scenes. For behind all of it, and behind all that was happening in Joseph's life, even in this part of the story, was the unseen sovereign hand of God guiding every step of the way. Making sure that Joseph got down to Egypt, not the way that he would have thought, but getting him to Egypt, getting him even to the house of Potiphar, where he was going to have an opportunity to serve in the captain of the guard, which was going to happen later. But in all that, the hand of God was there working behind the scenes. And we can trust that in your life and mine, God is working back behind the scenes. And he is, because it's behind the scenes, we can't see it. Because it's behind the scenes, we can't recognize it at the time, but he is working there. Do you believe that? Behind the scenes in our life. And we can trust him and know that he is still in control, even when our dreams seem dashed before us. So how do we respond to that? Well, there's several different ways. Well, we can be hopeless like Jacob. Jacob, when his dreams were dashed for his favorite son, and the brothers brought back the coat that they had dipped in blood and told their father that they had lied to him and told the father their made-up story. Boy, the heart of these brothers, I'll tell you. But as they lied to their father, told him this made-up story, and saw his pain, saw him mourning in agony, His hopes were dashed. His dreams were dashed. The one that he had chosen to be the head of the family, he now thought was gone. And he mourned and he wailed. And he said, I'm going to be in mourning till the day I die. And he refused to be comforted. He refused to have hope. He was hopeless. He could not see in the midst of this that somehow God was working. That God somehow had a plan that he couldn't understand at the point. And it all seemed hopeless from where Jacob sat. And sometimes we can respond that way too. That it's hopeless. My dreams. And we can mourn about it. We can throw up our hands in despair. And say, it's hopeless. Or we can respond like Joseph. And we can be hopeful like Joseph and believe and trust. Joseph, as he was being sold into Egypt in slavery, still, I believe, held on to those dreams. He knew that God had given those dreams to him. He knew and seen them clearly. And he understood that someday they would be fulfilled. And I believe that he believed and trusted that this was part of the plan in order for those dreams someday to come true. He didn't see it now, but he was hopeful in the hand of God at work. And he trusted and believed. And never do we see in Joseph's life anywhere mentioned that he ever doubted God at work. Did he ever question what God was doing? In the midst of all that he was going to go through, he held on tight to his faith in God, and he was the same, and his integrity was strong because he had hope in the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of his father Jacob. And that hope had sustained him, and he believed and he trusted that that God who had a plan that he gave to his father, his grandfather Abraham and Isaac, his great-grandfather Abraham, his grandfather Isaac, and his dad Jacob would someday be fulfilled through him. And he believed that. And he trusted. And he didn't give up, even when it seemed like all was hopeless around him. So when our dreams lie shattered around us, trust God. It's easy to say. You know, we talk about that, and we talked about that in Sunday school this morning. It's easy to say, trust God. And it is hard. But to know that he is still in control, he has a plan, he is behind the scenes, and he will bring it about in his time. Trust him. He is faithful. This morning, as I was praying and reflecting and on the scripture and then in prayer, the song, Great is Thy Faithfulness, just went through my mind. And I love that song. It's one of my favorite hymns. And I was just reflecting in on the sun coming up again and the sun setting. And you know, we take that for granted every morning that the sun comes up and the sun sets. But that has been doing that every day since the very creation when God established it. And what does that show us? The faithfulness of God. That he is faithful. We take those things for granted. But it shows us how faithful he is. And we don't even doubt that tomorrow morning the sun's going to come up again. It's going to be another day. But his faithfulness is restored to us every morning, the hymn says. And if he was faithful in the past, do you think he'll be faithful for us now? Do you think he'll be faithful for us in the future? When our dreams are broken and shattered, life doesn't turn out the way we hoped that they thought it would. God is still in control. Trust him. It is well with my soul, whatever my lot, you have taught me to say. It is well. It is well with my soul. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can trust you. Even when it seems like our dreams are shattered and broken around us, sometimes they're broken by sins of others against us, as was in the case of Jacob, of Joseph. His brother's sin ended up dashing his dreams as well as theirs. But Lord, it's a reminder as well that in those times we need to check the sin in our life, because when we let sin go unchecked, it can lead to greater and greater sin. But Lord, as well, we thank you that when our dreams are dashed. Life doesn't turn out the way we'd had. Maybe it's just disappointment. Maybe it's unexpected phone call. Maybe it's so many things that can happen in life. But in those times, remind us that you are still in control. When the bottom seems to fall out, all is not hopeless because we have a great God. You are greater. You reign. You still are on the throne. You reign over all of it. And so, Father, you do have a plan that we don't see, that we know is a good plan because you only want what's good for your children. And you work out what's good for your kids you love. And so, Father, your plan is good. Sometimes we may not see the goodness at the moment, but that's where the eyes of faith and trust come in, to know that you are at work behind the scenes and you are working it out to bring about your good plan that will ultimately be fulfilled. Your word says that you who began a good work in us will bring it about until the day of completion in Christ Jesus. So thank you that you are faithful. You have been, you are, and continue to be. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You don't change. And you remain constant, and you are sovereign on the throne. So Lord, help us to trust you in the midst of shattered dreams, in the midst of disappointments of life, to know that greater is he who is in us. And by you and your strength, we are not alone, and with you with us, trusting in you and not leaning on our own understanding, but acknowledging you, you will make those paths straight in our life. And we thank you for those promises. It's in Jesus Christ our Lord we pray. Amen.